step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 335, The Kinky Streetcar Show. I'm Lisa Sheps, along with co-host Nicole Shiro. You're listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming, as always, live on KOOP.org. Remember, folks, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Do not touch that dial.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
It is Wednesday, November 11th, 2015. It is Veterans Day. Thank you to all those veterans out there doing things for us. On the show today, we have Austin Shakespeare and their show, Streetcar Named Desire. And then later on, we're going to be talking to the actor who plays Lola on Broadway Across America's production of Kinky Boots. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions about the world of theater and pianos from around the world, including Austin, Chicago, New York, Chippewa, and Boise. I keep saying Boise, I don't know why.
Soldier Boy.
And we'll just leave it right there, a soldier boy.
Lisa, have you been to Boise?
Wait, hold on, why am I not hearing you?
I don't know.
Okay, there you go.
Have you been to Boise? Because you do bring up Boise a lot, but we never talk about Boise often.
I have been to Boise.
When you were a pilot flying your plane?
No. Oh. No, I have not done much Idaho flying.
Oh. She really is a pilot and really has flown her plane.
She
that
really is.
Not me pulling
She's
that
owned
out of the
two
hat.
Airplanes back in the day when I had moolah. So that was from Soldier Boy. No, I mean, that was not.
That was
That
the
was
song,
called Soldier Boy, and it is from, ding, 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 a jukebox musical called Baby, It's You from a few years back. Didn't do very well, but it's the story of what's-her-name, Motown artist, and I'm losing my piece of paper, and you know I can't remember anything.
I don't know, but I'm sorry I'm not helping you out because I was fascinated by the pile of... you feverishly going through the pile. It might be Martha and the Vandellas, I think.
Yeah, it's the Shirelles, actually.
Shirelles, there
yeah.
we go.
And it was back in 2011 that it was on Broadway.
Yeah, I don't remember that. That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I did. It was nominated. Oh, never mind. It's like the guy that wrote the book for Million Dollar Quartet also wrote the book for that. Anyway, so Soldier Boy, you might figure out, is in honor of veterans.
Dun, dun,
so a lot
dun,
of our interstitial dun, music. Will,
yeah, what about Soldier Girl?
You know what? They didn't have any Soldier Girl songs. I tried.
And you need to get writing music these.
Yeah,
get
the future,
on it.
Yeah.
Start writing that one.
You got to get
go.
Some Broadway shows named Soldier Girl. It'll get there. checking in with you, Nicole Shiro.
I'm good. I just crazy busy.
Your CB.
Same old, same old.
Same
yeah.
old, same old.
And how about you?
I'm groovy.
Ooh, I like that answer.
I am busier than a one-armed paper.
Yeah,
hair.
You and I have just been like busy, but I
underwater.
I was actually, you know what, Lisa? I enjoyed spending time with you. Just spending time with you last night, yeah. Not being in the crazy busy.
We went to the theater last night.
We went to the theater.
We were like civilized human beings.
Hey, we put on
oh
our
my.
Fancy clothes.
Our best frocks, and we went to the theater.
We did. And the best was, Anne Chicalella, Alex Alford's like, I can't send you edits on a program. I'm busy. I'm doing stuff. And we walk in the theater.
Who did we walk
and
right
his
by?
Hiney was in a seat. I'm like, this is what you were so busy doing. Yeah. And he was busted. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, busted.
So I want to remind folks that we have a podcast of this performance of
we
this
do.
Show. So you should be listening to the podcast. If you're not, you can get that podcast by subscribing to us on iTunes. And while you're on iTunes, why not just give us a review?
I was about to say, what about that review? We're
give
looking
a,
for some
give
reviews.
Us a review. We want iTunes to like us, and the only way to do that is for folks to give us a review. But you can also get us on Stitcher. You can stitch us.
Stitchy stitch.
And then we
can tweet us.
You can. Well,
you
they don't get the podcast.
They don't get the podcast
tweet.
That way.
You could. Actually, but, you do. You, when
oh, you do you, post you do it sometimes. Us, that is correct.
It does get tweeted out. Then the easiest way for folks to get us.
It's not just the easiest. It's the best way.
It's the best.
We arrive in your mailbox. Lisa and Nicole. Right. Voila. So there we are.
So those of you listening to the broadcast right now, you may want to consider the podcast because there are things on the podcast that we don't do here. For instance, we have the trivia question, which is asked at the end of this section and answered at the beginning of the podcast.
Yes.
And we have Backstage at Offstage, where we get to learn a little bit more about the deep, dark secrets of our guests.
I know, and I find that segment very exciting.
It is. Although, I'm going to just skip ahead before I introduce the guest to our next little thing, bullet point here, which is the weather, because it's present on my mind right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the studio, our air conditioning is out, and it is hot. We are schwitzing out here. There's some schwitzing going on.
Yes, there is.
Schwitzing. So let's introduce who's here with us. And, of course, Ann Ciccolella, the incomparable co-host.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having
I feel like I haven't seen you in forever.
I know.
It's Drew Hutchinson.
Hello.
New to the program.
Yep, never been on.
Everybody else are veterans. Amber Quick.
Hello.
Gwen Kelso.
Hi.
And Michael Miller.
Hi there.
Welcome, you guys. okay, so we had a couple of openings on the Great White Way, right?
Yes, we did.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
I don't know.
It up to you. You have to make a decision.
We'll just start with the order I think you have on here.
Oh, don't you have look Gloria? At the sheet.
Yeah, and by the way, every time I see a reference to On Your Feet, the Gloria Estefan musical or anything, do you know that song doesn't leave my head
Get
all
on
day?
Your feet.
Yeah, it was in my head the whole way over here as I was playing.
Get up and make it happen. Get on your feet.
Yeah, I know.
So it is indeed the story of Gloria Estefan and her husband. What's his name? Michael? Jim?
No.
Frank?
Bob?
No.
Emilio.
I was like, Emilio.
I knew it was. It was just sort of fun to say that. Lackluster reviews all around, pretty much. Not great. Some of the highlights from other people, other than the New York Times, which is what I like to concentrate on because I'm a snob. The New York Daily News said, a paint-by-numbers portrait can still be colorful.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, it was clever. A little bait and switch right there, wasn't it? You all ready for something.
It's just missing the blessed heart.
blessed heart.
Well, they did. Everybody did like.
Except up in the East, they think that's a good thing.
Oh. That's true.
They don't know the connotation.
Now, wait a second. You will rarely find me defending the South. But sometimes it is meant
to be endearing.
A good thing here in the South. It isn't always It isn't always ironic.
No.
Bless their hearts.
But usually.
It's usually ironic. You all are wonderful. Bless your hearts. So the person that plays Gloria Estefan is Anna, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing his name, Anna Villafane, I think?
I'm not sure.
If there's a wacky accent on it. Anna Villa. Sorry, it's an Enye. So I guess I should have actually looked at it. I'm going to say it's Villafane. And she listens to the
actually,
show.
Actually, that sounds so, Anna, right now that you just
you
said it.
You may call in and correct if you'd like.
I think that is.
Anyway, people like her. They say she did a really good job.
Well,
and she
you know
played
what?
Gloria Estefan.
She and got on her feet. She got up and made it happen.
And then Josh Segura, somebody I don't know. Anybody know? And you know everybody. No?
No, nothing.
He played Emilio. So everybody seems to be complaining about the book on this puppet.
I was about to say, I think it's the book that's the problem, but it's you know. Book. Because we all know Gloria's songs. They stay with you, whether you're a Gloria fan or not. You know
well, and
Conga,
all of us,
you know all these songs. So,
and the conga is, by the way, the end of Act One. And they conga line through the house up to the balcony, led by a young yarmulke-encrusted, presumably Jewish boy.
Well, that makes sense, right?
Just saying.
Did you say yarmulke encrusted?
Yes.
I guess
she did.
I guess encased might have been the better word. I can't turn a phrase, bless my heart.
I like
like yarmulke encrusted, though. I was just, you know, I was going to keep rolling with that.
He was wearing a kippah. And he is a kippah. Anyway, they say the writing, which is done by the writer, is a guy named, last name is Dinelarius. His first name, I can't remember.
Mr. Works, too.
His writing oscillates oddly between showbiz cliches and intimately observed scenes of family life.
Okay.
All right. So here's something interesting that I didn't know about Gloria Estefan's mother, who evidently...
Mama.
We'll have to talk about that again. Actually, I heard a recording of that song. We're going to slip into Gypsy here for a second. I heard a recording of that song where, and I forgot who was singing it, but when she got to that part where it goes, Mama, I didn't want to throw up. So it's actually pretty good. I don't like that part of that song. It doesn't,
really?
It doesn't compute to me, but I'm pretty shallow. Bless my heart. So anyway, her father evidently squashed her mother's chance at being the voice, the Spanish voice, dubbed for Shirley Temple.
Interesting.
And so there was a lot of
animosity. I was worried that he squashed her mother. I was hanging on to that.
She tried to encrust her with a yarmulke.
Which really would make the show.
And here's what I found interesting.
You know, you have some great book ideas. Maybe I should call Gloria and let her know we could fix this song.
That's true.
You can have your father squash your mother.
Quashed by a yarmulke. So I found this interesting, and this is only really interesting to me, by the way, because it makes me feel old. The grandmother, the abuelita, abuela, is played by Alma Cuervo, who I worked with in the mid-80s on a pre-Broadway show that actually didn't make it in. And she played the young... up-and-coming nurse, and now
fabulous.
She's playing a grandmother.
But she's fabulous.
I know she's fabulous.
Lisa just made Lisa feel old. It had nothing to do with the lady.
Old.
I know where you feel.
I feel old. But you know what? Get on your feet.
Get up and make it happen.
All right, so we need to go on. We've already spent 15 minutes talking
about
it.
I know. I was like, we're spending a lot on this dog.
I love that Anne's moving us along.
Anne always moves us on.
I know it's she does.
When Anne Ciclella is here, it is hard to maintain control of this show.
Don't worry. She's got her Coco host hat on and her artistic director hat. So she's going.
Okay, so the other thing we want to talk about is Allegiance.
Yes.
The George Takei, which like to pronounce as George Takei.
Thanks for making fun of me.
Also, you're making fun of me.
No, I wasn't.
Also pretty blasé, but this is actually, when I read this review, it was exactly the same review that it happened either in L.A. or
LA.
Chicago.
It was out in L.A. and it was.
In the New York Daily News, Joe Demlichwitz, who I can't pronounce his last name.
Joe Demlichwitz.
He turns a phrase. This show is stuck on impulse power. Get it? That's Star Trek.
I got it. Okay. Which they're redoing. They're doing a new series of Star Treks.
Dun, 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 dun. So Charles Isherwood says that the requirement of any Broadway musical, or one of the requirements, or the first requirement of a Broadway musical is a song, but is to entertain.
Well, that, yes.
Correct? Sorry, we should have had the video going.
I wish
just then.
The video was going. That was phenomenal.
Charlie Martin of Co-op just walked into the studio, walked up to the board, and just looked at it, and then walked away.
He mouthed some numbers.
It made me feel a little self-conscious. Bless his heart.
He just wanted to get up and make it happen.
So anyway, so he says the requirement of any Broadway musical is to entertain. Allegiance struggles to balance that, but doesn't always find an equilibrium.
That's no bueno.
Yeah. So
it wasn't such a bad review, though. I thought it was going to be worse.
Actually. Yeah, I did too, actually. But it's a non-committal review.
It was a mixed review.
Yeah. And I'm just gonna end this by reading the last paragraph of the review because it sort of says what Charles Isherwood thinks, who I like to call Chuck.
Well, you and Chuck have a little romance going
on. We do. I like him. If anything, the authors feel the responsibility of illuminating this shameful chapter in American history, and by that we mean the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II, to pack the show with so much incident and information that Allegiance often feels more like a history lesson than a musical. A singing history lesson, yes.
Oh, boy.
But a history lesson on the yes. So it's just packed with
makes
with
you want to buy a ticket, don't it?
Well, but it's unfortunate. It is a period that most of us gloss over.
That's what I was just about to say. It's unfortunate because sadly it's not a story that's told now. And it wasn't that long ago for us not to still be talking about it.
That's right.
Sorry.
That's right.
Or shall I say, hi.
Hi, domo. The other review I want to talk about, because this I did just for Nicole Shiro. Oh, actually, there's two more reviews I want to talk about. Mad Libs Live.
Why? Because it was so bad, and I just so was like, please, why is this happening?
It was so bad. Well, when I saw the review came out, I said, well, I got to see what they said. And indeed, they sort of... But first of all, it's really made for kids. So Mad Libs Live is a musical that they they take... suggestions from the audience, like Mad Lib style, like give me a noun, give me a verb. And of course, at the matinee that this woman saw, Laura Collins Hughes, poop was popular, as was Donald Trump.
Well, they put him in, like, I guess they have, like, you know, like the buckets, the little pails for sand pails at the beach, and they're carrying them, and they're somewhat lyrics, and in the middle of songs, they'll be pulling out the words to sing it. Rehearsals were so painful. I couldn't even get through two bars. I'm like, there is nothing. Get the hook.
Yeah. I felt a little bit better that it is meant for kids.
So I don't care. Then those kids are going to be never know what good theater is.
Kids
and that's sad.
Kids like
because there's
like
good Donald theater Trump. Out there.
Kids
man.
Like poop.
Well, they're writing in the words, so obviously.
Yes, they do.
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't mention, by the way, that On Your Feet...
Yes.
Got to go back to that real quick, like just to keep everything circular. Mm-hmm. Was directed by Jerry Mitchell, who also directed...
Les Kinky Boots.
Les Kinky Boots, which is also on.
What hasn't that man
and
do?
And keeping
done.
On the...
What hasn't that man do? Listen to my English.
Keeping on the non-normative gender levels, there's a show that opened off-Broadway at Playwrights Horizons called Here, H-I-R. So here, for those of you who do not know, is a gender-neutral pronoun. Here takes the place of he or she. So this is a play by Taylor Mack, who does a lot.
Amazing.
He's done some incredible, incredible work. And this sounds like an incredible show. And it tells the story of a dysfunctional family, which he is really good at doing. But it starts out, the scene is a disheveled apartment, like really, really disgusting. They said you would need a hazmat suit to get to the sink. And there's a man with a rainbow-colored Afro wig on, really bad makeup and a dress, and he can't speak. And so we learn that he's had a stroke. His wife is taking care of him, but he was abusive, so she is abusing him. In his
oh,
so
wow.
I know. And so
like
and
the
two
cycle.
And the two kids come in. One is a young man who I believe just came back from the war. And the other is a son who is a trans man and is just beginning his transition. So it's really interesting. But who is this? Is it? Why am I not seeing who wrote this? Anyway, but they liken this work to the works of David Rabe, Sam Shepard, Christopher Durang. So it seems really, really
good company to be with.
Yeah.
Not so shabby.
And the woman that plays the wife is, I'll get it. Kristen Nielsen, who did really well in Masha and Pasha and Pasha and Spike.
Yeah.
Masha and Pasha and Pasha and Spike. That's what I call it. So worthwhile scene. Let's see. Hold on. Let's see when it plays, or if it's a limited run. Closes December 20th. So you got a month.
Wow. Woo!
There it is.
Okay, we have time for one more. Oh, color. Actually, we don't. We're gonna go straight into trivia questions.
Oh,
but before
okay.
we do that, you figure out what that's gonna be. Color Purple previews tonight.
Yeah, I know. They already started doing... I'm going to give this to you for next
Gwen, you've
week.
Got a pouty lip. Do you not like the color purple?
No, the color purple is great. I didn't know that it was in preview.
It's in preview.
Yeah, it's the version that they revived in London. 30 minutes cut from the show. I don't know what
Which
they cut.
Doesn't we, make it
Lisa and I are like,
to
nothing
me.
Needed to be cut from the original one. Well, I'm very confused. Different kind of sets. Jennifer Hudson's playing Shug Avery.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm... Man, I was fascinated when I saw it the first time. I shall be back.
I shall be back
to see it again.
There is an interesting thing, and it will be linked on our site, something that we didn't have time to talk about. The title of the article is Equality, Then What? And it's talking about the new plays that are happening that are not so angst written, the new plays that are talking about gay life in America, and they're not necessarily... For the longest time, it was all HIV, discrimination, and now it's more like, okay, I'm married, I'm going to have a kid, and it's more, and I'm using air quotes here, normative. And it's very interesting. And I didn't know, I learned something here, and probably I had no idea. I did not realize that Cynthia Nixon is married to a woman.
Mm-hmm. For years
I
now.
I did not know that.
They have four kids, three kids.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Did not know that. And Harvey Fierstein is trying to, you know, I said I wasn't going to talk about this. But Harvey Fierstein is trying to, I just got to see, which he's trying to get gay versions of other plays, specifically God of Carnage and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Oh, heavy. Awesome.
Because he said he'd be an incredible
and
Martha.
Should we call Harvey and let him know Austin Shakespeare would be interested?
Edward Albee would not.
But, yeah, but he can't. They're not giving the rights out. He can't get those. And if Harvey Fierstein can't do it,
yeah.
I have a few. Well, no, Anne Chiclella.
Ellen Chiclella. Shit, hello.
All right.
You know, the other thing in previews, starting is School Rock. You left that out.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Well, I do. So there you go.
I did. So has it started? Is it opened? Or has it started previews?
Yes. Yes. Because the whole original cast of the movie, oh my God, they're all grown up. They were all there
last night.
Taking pictures.
Don't care.
All right, I'm going to do a nice, short, and sweet question.
Just
with
to
no
remind
multiple
folks,
choice.
This is a trivia question. We're going to ask a trivia question. Please don't answer here in the studio. We will answer this trivia question at the beginning of Backstage at Offstage, which you can get on iTunes. Go.
All right, this is not a multiple choice today, and it's short and sweet. And I did this for my fellow Italian. This is about musical set in Italy.
MFIs, we call those.
Yes. All right. This fabled flop featured an Italian duke who races cars, his granddaughter, who is a witch, and Guido, who is the devil's emissary.
Wow. And it is a, let's just be the hint. It's not really a hint. It is a musical.
Yes, it is. And it is set in Italy.
Do any time frame? Do we know when this happened? Is that part of the question?
It's probably in the answer.
No. Okay, we'll get that.
I don't know the answer. I didn't look myself.
Excellent. Well, we will get that when we... travel backstage.
I just like the name Guido.
In the meantime,
so I picked it.
Let's take a little break and let's listen to this song from Yank. Again, saluting our troops. Your squad is your squad.
Up when Don comes out in the beginning of the show.
That wasn't
that
it.
That was not it.
Ah, somebody, okay, I need to, somebody had the...
wrong CD in the wrong
No, they spot? Said that the CDs are supposed to end after a song, but if you,
oh,
you can make it
keep
going, and that's against the CD, the rules to not change it back. So here we go.
It's your squad.
Say there's bombs, troops getting pounded. Say
that you'll we are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air on KOOP. Starring Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Dun, 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 dun.
Our guests from Austin Shakespeare. I'm just going to reintroduce you and let you say hello. Anne Chiclella.
Hello.
Drew Hutchinson.
Hey there.
Amber Quick.
Hello again.
Hello. Gwen Kelso.
Hi.
And Michael Miller.
Hi.
So you guys are doing a very unknown show.
Yeah.
That has not had any film adaptations. Called A Streetcar Named Desire.
We're just trying to get the word out there, you know?
One day, it may be a hit.
This Tennessee Williams guy, if he keeps working,
right.
he may go somewhere.
Bless his heart.
Anne, what is this show? Tell folks what it is, in case, you know, some people may not know.
You know, it's kind of amazing how many people don't.
I was about to say, I'm amazed sometimes. And you know what? We all grow up. We all have to be little at some point and learn about it.
Well, you know, we did a talk yesterday for some freshman Plan 2 students at UT, and one kid had studied Glass Menagerie in high school. But, you know, we think Tennessee Williams is all pervasive, and he's not.
Yeah.
So just, I keep saying, the act, just like Shakespeare, you're telling the story as if for the first time. And it really, I mean, we all sort of knew it, but... doing the script, it's an amazing journey. The script is just terrific.
So can you encapsulate the plot a little bit?
No? But I'm sure some actor could.
Okay, some actor. Choose an actor. One of you.
Should we paper rock?
I don't know. They're all eyeballing each other.
All right, while y'all are deciding, I just have to say that I did a Spanish version of the glass menagerie.
You did.
And it was called Zuiloico de Cristal. And that's when, you know, and we were touring Central and South America, and the English speaking newspapers translated it, and it said, Spanish rep is here. They're doing La Celestina, The Fantastics, and Tennessee Williams Crystal Zoo. Oh. Okay. So now that we got that out of the way,
I could give it a shot.
Let's talk about
Streetcar. Started.
Yeah.
So it's set in New Orleans, and this woman shows up on her sister's doorstep looking for her sister. We don't know much about her. It's very mysterious. Her sister lives with her husband, Stanley. Sorry, their names are Stella, is the sister, Stanley. And they live together. Blanche shows up on the doorstep and looking for a place to stay. And we don't know what her history is or why she's there. Anybody else want to pick up from there?
It's a mystery.
It is a mystery.
I was like, that's a good
question. The guy at the bank didn't know what this show was either.
Well, I would think people would be more familiar with some of the catch lines.
I started yelling the lines out to this guy at the bank the other day because he hadn't heard of the show. And he still was like, no, I don't.
Really?
Kindness is strange. Because there's so many pop culture references that people...
The only thing that people will say is Simpsons.
Yeah.
I'll get a lot of Simpsons.
The Simpsons did it?
Simpsons is the pop culture reference.
Stella, they'll say, oh yeah, from Seinfeld.
Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah, well, I would think the Seinfeld, but the Simpsons,
I know that,
really, that's the one I'm...
It goes to show that we have lots of educating to do, or edumacating to do. Andrew, you play Stanley.
Yes.
Kowalski,
that's
right. Nice Polish boy.
Yeah, nice Polish name.
Is there I'm going off on a tangent. Is there a heavy Polish population in New Orleans?
Well, if there isn't now, I guess there was then.
Okay.
Yeah, I think folks moved from Chicago.
Right.
There were some Poles.
And Amber, you're playing Stella.
Yes, ma'am.
Gwen?
I'm Blanche.
Dubois. And Mitch, I mean,
Michael,
I gave it away.
I'm Michael, and I'm playing Mitch.
You always play characters with M names.
Do I?
No, I just made that up.
I think because you're Michael Miller,
so,
she's going with the whole Eminem.
So it's interesting. I would think that working on this piece would be sort of challenging in a couple of ways because it's, in my mind, it's rather ubiquitous, but as we're learning, it's not as ubiquitous as we think. So how do you approach a piece like that? Or do you just approach it as if it is a fresh piece of work?
Yeah, I mean, I think like Shakespeare. You know, every Shakespeare has been done how many times, but you do it and you approach it in the new way for you. So that's exactly what we did. Meaning I just think you can't deal with the movie and the Anne Margaret film and the Jessica Lange film. You know, you've just got to be like, hey, these are the folks who are auditioning. This is the cast. This is really interesting. And the world that Leslie Turner and Patrick have created, the design world, just puts you in it, in that very intimate space at the Rollins. I mean, it's just not like anything else. I don't know. Yeah. But actors should answer, when you do these iconic roles, is that intimidating? Or?
Well, I think that taking that approach to it, of just kind of clean slate going into it and trying to find your own personal stamp to put on it, is so much more of a relief than trying to... recall or borrow from other productions or things like that.
Give
homage to. Right. It's like, then that's when the pressure really comes on. But when you get to just step into it and just say, like, whatever, my choices are my own, and this can be this beautiful thing that I get to claim for myself, it's almost easier in that respect.
Sure.
That makes sense.
But I think the challenge probably for a performer is to really remind yourself that it's not as well known, that not everybody has seen the brand new version, it's not as well known as we think it is, and therefore you can approach it. You don't have to be afraid of finding your own voice.
Well, you got those images of Brando that are just like really intimidating. I had met this lady the other day who learned that I was playing Stanley.
Sorry
yes,
about
it
that.
Was a friend of hers, and she was like, "You're playing Stanley. Can I see your stomach?"
Oh no!
And I said no, but thank you for confirming my worst fears about people's preconceived notions as far as this as this play goes.
Okay, well, we're gonna hear some scenes, but before we do that, we're gonna take a quick little sidebar. We're going to tease up our interview for later. Normally, we choose a number to do this.
I was hoping you just played it.
But we're just gonna play this, and I'm gonna kill the mic so we all can hear it.
Hey, 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 hey.
How you doing? I'm Jay Harrison G with Kinky Boots First National Tour playing Lola, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
We may need to do it one more time. My levels weren't ready for that.
And I was like eating the mouth.
I forgot I left that last
you
part on.
You did leave that in there.
You told me to, so I did it.
It made me laugh.
I do everything you tell me to do.
That's so not true.
Okay, so we're going to hear a couple of scenes from this show, correct?
Yes.
Somebody, I don't care who, set up the first scene. Dun, 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 dun.
So this is the day, I believe, after Blanche has arrived, and we've just found, Stella's just found out some information about the homestead that's rather upsetting, and she's trying in her best way to quickly dispatch the news to Stanley and move on as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. Look over here, a shiny thing.
Okay, squirrel. Okay, this is Amber Quick and Drew Hutchinson doing a scene from Austin Shakespeare's production of A Streetcar Named Desire.
Where is she?
She's soaking in a hot tub, trying to quiet her nerves. She's terribly upset.
Over what?
Oh, she's been through such an ordeal.
Yeah?
Stan, we've lost Belle Reve.
That place in the country?
Yes.
How?
Oh, it had to be sacrificed or something. Now, when she comes out of the bathroom, be sure to say something nice about her appearance. And don't mention the baby. I haven't said anything yet. I'm waiting until she's in a quieter condition.
So?
And try to understand her and be nice to her, Stan. She wasn't expecting to find us in such a small place. See, I'd tried to gloss things over a little in my letters.
So?
And be sure to admire her dress and tell her she's looking wonderful. That's very important to Blanche, her little weakness.
Yeah, I get the idea. Now, how about we skip back to where you say the place was disposed of?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, how about that? Let's have a few more details on that subject.
It's best not to talk much about it until she's calmed down.
Oh, so that's the deal, huh? Sister Blanche cannot be annoyed with business details now.
You saw how she was last night.
Mm-hmm, I saw how she was. Now let's have a look at the papers.
Well, I haven't seen any.
What do you mean to tell me? She didn't show you no papers, no deed of sale, nothing like that?
It seems like the place wasn't sold.
What the hell was it then? Giveaway? To charity?
Shh, she'll hear you.
I don't care if she hears me. Let's see the papers.
I haven't seen any papers. She didn't show any papers. I don't care about papers.
Listen, did you ever hear the Napoleonic Code?
No, Stanley. I haven't heard of the Napoleonic Code.
Well, then let me enlighten you on a point or two.
Yes.
In the state of Louisiana, we have that which is known as the Napoleonic Code, according to which whatever belongs to the wife belongs to the husband also, and vice versa. For instance, if I had a piece of property, or you had a piece of property...
My head is swimming.
All right. I'll wait till she gets done soaking in a hot tub, and then I'll inquire if she's acquainted with the Napoleonic Code.
There's plenty of...
Looks to me like you've been swindled, baby. And when you under the Napoleonic Code, when you get swindled, I get swindled too. And I don't like to be swindled.
Listen, there's plenty of time to ask her questions later. But if you do now, she'll just go to pieces again. I don't understand what happened to Belle Reve, but you have no idea how ridiculous you are being when you suggest that my sister or I or any other member of our family could have perpetrated a swindle on anyone.
Where's the money then if the place was sold?
Not sold, lost. Lost.
How do you spell louse?
It's A-L-A-W.
That's a wonderful, wonderful scene. Oh, wonderful scene. And we were talking before we went on the air, and your approach to Stella is very strong, and you can see that in your approach right here.
I hope so.
So that was lovely.
Yes,
of course. Yes. Let's go right, because we're running late, of course. So let's go right into the next scene. What's the next scene?
Okay, this is between Mitch and Blanche. They've just met a little bit earlier at a poker night that is occurring at Stanley and Stella's apartment. And so Mitch is taking a break from the poker game to continue the conversation with Blanche.
Okay, so this is Gwen Kelso, Michael Miller, doing another scene from Austin Shakespeare's production of A Streetcar Named Desire.
Hello. Excuse me, please.
Little boy's room is occupied right now.
We've been drinking beer.
Well, I hate beer.
It's a hot weather drink.
Oh, I don't think so. It always makes me warmer. You got any cigs?
Sure.
What kind?
Lucky's.
Oh, good. What a pretty case. Silver?
Yes. Yes, read the inscription.
There's an inscription. And if God choose, I shall love thee better after death. Oh, why, that's from my favorite sonnet by Mrs. Browning.
You know it?
I most certainly do.
There's a story connected with that inscription.
Sounds like a romance.
A pretty sad one. The girl's dead now.
Oh.
Well, she knew she was dying when she gave me this. It's a very strange girl. Very sweet. Very.
She must have been very fond of you. Sick people have such deep, sincere attachments.
That's right, they certainly do.
The little there is in the world belongs to those who've known some sorrow.
I believe you're right about that.
I am positive that I am. Show me a person that hasn't known sorrow, and I'll show you a superficial person. Listen to me. My tongue's a little thick. Oh. You boys are responsible for it. Hey. The show let out at 11, but we couldn't come home on account of the poker game, so we had to go somewhere and drink. I'm not accustomed to having more than one. Two is my limit, and three, whew, tonight I had three.
Well, dear me out. I'm talking to Miss...
Dubois.
Dubois.
It's French. It means woods, and Blanche means white, so the two together mean white woods. You can remember it by that if you care to.
You're French?
We are French by extraction. Our first ancestors were French Huguenots.
You're Stella's sister, are you not?
Yes, Stella is my precious little sister. I call her little in spite of the fact she's somewhat older than I.
Oh!
Just a little, less than a year.
Oh, my God. That is a fun scene.
I forget how much I love that show.
And that Tennessee Williams, he knows how to write women, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. And how.
Yep. So where does one go to get information about this show?
TheLongCenter.org or www.austinshakespeare.org. Either way, it takes you to the place to get
information. So when do you open?
We open in a week.
In a week.
Next Wednesday is our preview, and then the next Thursday is...
And when do you close?
December 6th.
December 6th. And you are at the Long Center on
the
Rollins
Stage.
The beautiful Rollins Stage. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
I hope some or all of you can stick around and join us backstage. Sure. It's Please really do. Hot back there.
It won't be long.
It's fun. That was Ann Ciclella, Gwen Kelso, Amber Quick, Drew Hutchinson, and Michael Miller of Austin Shakespeare's production of A Streetcar Named Desire, playing November 18th through December 6th at the Long Center on the Rollins Stage. For more information, austinshakespeare.org. And I bet all of you guys know that there is an opera named A Streetcar Named Desire. Okay, when I hear this, it reminds me of that Saturday Night Lights sketch, the Californians. You know, because they just talk about, you know, take the streetcar and get off at Manzolato or blah, blah, blah. So we're running behind, so let's just jump through our local stuff real quick. I just want to talk about very quickly Night of the Squid, which is a benefit for the Autism Society of Austin, happening at Ground Floor Theater on November 19th.
Nice.
More information, dun-dun-dun. Well, you can find information at groundfloortheater.org.
Ground Floor Theater, yay.
Yay. And then the other thing you sent me, I'm just going to mention because it's sort of interesting. It's auditions for a show called Blank-Faced Shakespeare. and it's the S word, and it's basically a production of Shakespeare that has one person that is Blotso.
Did you notice in the writing in there that you must be a friendly drunk and right. able to? Like, yeah. It was hilarious.
Anyway, the job starts in January, ends in the end of March, and the auditions are December 6th and 7th at Spider House. I don't see where it says to get more information, but there is a link on our website, offstageonair.com.
Yeah, it was in
what
the
do you
playbill
have?
Notices. I have the Pollyanna Theater Company. We haven't had Pollyanna on in a while, and they're doing the Under the Big Top over at the Long Center through the 14th. You can go to pollyannatheatercompany.org. And then I thought this was really cool because it takes some of my...
Hold on. The thing you just pulled away had Edward Monk's scream on it looks like.
Oh,
Yeah, that was that's Nosferatu with a live score by the Invincible Stars.
Yeah.
That is happening over at Salvage Vanguard. It's an evening of theater, film, and live music. So that was kind of cool. But my other thing I thought was cool is that at the Bob Bullock Museum, you can go to storyoftexas.com. It's 24 hours with The Herd, with Graham Reynolds and Red Volkart. Huh. And to be able to get the theatery awesome world of Graham, and you probably don't know who Red Volkart is.
I'm guessing he's some sort of country person.
Yeah, played for Merle Haggard and plays with Hay Bale here, and is probably one of the greatest players. And they're doing this whole thing at the Bob Bullock. And it is they're reimagining Frank Rao's groundbreaking 1933 performance with The Herd and adding stuff. And I thought that was kind of cool at the Bob Bullock. So I was just switching
it up. We love the stuff
up.
You bring
the
in.
That is a nice. The music.
The Nosferatu.
The Nosferatu.
Well, so let's go straight into today in theater history.
Oh, we have Anne's favorite part. She
we
got
have
excited.
Some birthdays. It is the birthday of Maude Adams.
Oh,
yes, you remember Maude? Well, I remember. We went to school together. She was born in 1872. Actually, born in 1872, died in 1953. So she's been around. So she is, and this we talked about another one of these last week about Mary Martin. She is the very first Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Who originated the role in 1904. Did you know that, Anne? Mm-hmm. Oh, good for you. I did not.
I'm a Peter Pan fan.
I was she's a Peter Pan addict like me.
Yeah. And it's also the birthday of one Stubby K.
Stubby K.
Most people know him from Guys and Dolls. And we will hear a little bit of him singing when we leave this section. He was also in Little Abner. Not Little Abner.
Little Abner.
Little Abner. So that guy in that S-faced drunk Shakespeare, he'd say Little Abner. In 1924.
There's a lot of Little Abner references in Shakespeare, you know.
There you go. This was the original production of Desire Under the Elms. In New York. Not the original production, the one in New York. At the Greenwich Village Theater, starring Walter Houston, Charles Ellis, and Mary Morris.
Interesting.
It ran 49 weeks.
That's not bad. What year was that?
It did well.
1924.
Yeah, that's
the year
good.
Before my father was
there
born.
There you go.
Yeah, they probably did in honor of him.
That's exactly what it was.
So in 43, this is the songwriting team of somebody named Alan J. Lerner and another guy named Frederick Lowe. They made their Broadway debut on this date in 1943.
I wonder if they will get anywhere.
Can anybody guess what show?
What year?
Oh, their Broadway
43,
debut?
Broadway debut. It starred Jimmy Savo and was directed by somebody named George Balanchine, who I didn't realize directed. I thought he was just a choreographer.
Oh, no.
Just
like,
a choreographer.
Like Jerome Robbins.
He was a, yeah, I was just about to say he's like a Jerome Robbins.
It's a musical called What's Up, which I could find no information about.
What's up with that?
What's up with that? In 1958, the year of my birth, the French import Les Plumes de Matante opened at the Royal Theater. And I just read, the reason why I said this, it says the title makes no sense, which is exactly the point of this madcap review. And let's see, in 2000, Lily Tomlin opened her In Search of Intelligent Signs of Life in the Universe.
Wow. That was
again,
long
that
ago.
Was her second one.
I love her.
2004, I don't know if y'all have heard of this playwright, Tennessee Williams. He premiered his one-act play, The Fat Man's Wife, his New York debut of New York Manhattan Theater Club. Okay.
That's it.
And then in 2010, this was the Pee Wee Herman show came to Broadway.
Oh God, I remember that.
I tried, there was a video of it. I tried to watch it. It was hard to watch.
It was on, I think it was on Showtime or something. One of the stations recorded
very,
it.
Very, very difficult to watch for me. And I'm a Pee Wee fan.
I love Pee Wee.
I love the Playhouse.
Oh my gosh. Right.
Uh-oh, we got to get moving. birthdays, Clifton Webb.
Happy birthday.
Stanley Tucci.
There you go. Oh, Stanley.
Callista Flockhart.
Oh, Callista.
And locally, Mackenzie Cade.
Mackenzie Cade.
And then Jane Nichols, who was a guest on Backstage at Offstage, who's not really theater person, although she was a B-eyed in pain judge.
Well, you forgot one birthday, and it was yesterday, but it was one Rebecca Robinson.
I did not know that.
And that was very important. So, hello, Rebecca. Happy
we don't
birthday.
Normally do birthdays in whatever that means in the past.
Yeah,
but you know what? What the hell? It's Rebecca Robinson. She's
worth
special.
It.
All right. So we're going to listen to a little bit of Stubby K. And then when we come back, we'll talk kinky boots.
Kinky boots.
Plenty of times I've been in plenty of jams. like back.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro and Ann Ciccolella. Dun, da, da, dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
Well, you know, we got to go to the theater last night, as
we
mentioned earlier.
We did.
And we got to see Kinky Boots, which I had a great time. Did you have fun?
I had a lot of fun.
It was.
It's a crowd pleaser.
It is hard not to have fun.
It's
even if you're a big old snob.
Yep.
Like me.
Yep.
But that in the music by
Cyndi
Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper.
And it certainly had her stamp on it.
Absolutely.
She's so smart.
She is smart. She's a good lady. She really is just.
She's
awesome.
A GE, as we call them.
And you know what? She was awesome in Three Penny Opera. As like being in Broadway besides writing Broadway.
Look at
so
that.
Go Cyndi.
Go Cyndi. So we sat down earlier today with Jay
Harrison.
Harrison
G.
G. Thank you. Terrible with names. And we talked to him. He plays Lola.
Yes, and he let me wear the Kinky Boots.
That is on Facebook even as we speak. Just go to our page on Facebook and you can see Jay actually putting them on to Nicole's feet.
Oh, you have those?
Yes. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Nicole and I are fortunate enough to be sitting here in the studio with Jay Harrison G, who plays Lola in Broadway Across America's current production of Kinky Boots, which opened last night at the Basque Concert Hall. Jay, welcome to Offstage and On the Air.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I cannot tell you how excited I'm to have you on this show.
Oh,
yes,
thank
we both
you.
Got very, okay. very excited when we knew you were coming. We were
yes. Well, I mean, so for so many different varied reasons. But before we get into that, for those people that that don't follow the Tonys, mm-hmm. which doesn't include anybody that listens to this show, tell folks about the show. What is it?
Kinky Boots. It's a story about a shoe factory in Northampton, England that is failing. The father passes away and Charlie Price inherits it, and he takes a trip to London and runs into my character.
Was he on a pony? No?
No, I don't think he was on a pony.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I was just curious.
No, but he runs into my character, Lola, in a dark alley. And her plight is she can't find shoes that bear the weight of a full-grown man. So Charlie and Lola come up with this plan to make kinky boots to save the factory. And along the way, there's some bumps in the road, but in the end, everything is great, and we save the factory, and I get boots.
And I guess we should... you get boots. You get lots of boots.
Yes, go.
And I guess we should say that Lola is a drag queen.
Yes, Lola is a drag queen.
So that's good. And, well, I think it's good.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
And written by Harvey Fierstein.
Yes.
And some musical...
Some lady.
Cyndi Lauper or something like
Cyndi
that.
Cyndi Lauper, who won the Tony.
Yes.
First female.
Woman ever.
Yeah, that exciting. Rocks. And Nicole and I saw it last night. What fun.
Good.
What good. I mean, it must not be very fun doing the show.
No, not at all.
Y'all actually, don't look like you're having a very good time.
It's so... It's laboring and I just, it's taxing. I just, no, it's the most fun ever. I've been doing drag outside of the show for 5 years now. So now to have
is your drag name?
My drag name is Crystal Demure.
Crystal Demure.
I like that.
Lovely. And does Crystal Demure bear any resemblance to Lola?
There's some resemblance there.
Do you use different makeup?
I do. There's a makeup artist that has a specific plot that she does for me as Lola because I have to transform in and out of.
I was like, you transform in and out on stage, which is a lot.
That's
a lot. Yeah.
But Sarah
you're
is
using
amazing.
Those wipes a lot. It's like the trash can in the makeup room
absolutely.
Is probably just overfilling.
Yes, with lots of things.
So when you do your drag show, so we'll talk about your drag show more than anything else. When you do your drag show, do you lip sync or do you sing?
I do it all. I try to give you a mix of it all. You know, keep it.
Here's the question, and the other people in the studio are going to laugh at me. Do you like the movie Connie and Carla?
I do.
They don't know it. I'm
really?
Like, what's wrong with
Connie,
you?
I've only seen it once, and my friend was like, you have to see this. It's hilarious, and it's fun. That's a good time.
I never
that's
heard of
my
it.
Nia
really?
Yes,
never
I
heard
do.
Of
this
it.
This is my Nia Vardalos, Toni Collette, going undercover to play drag queens.
Oh, my God. It's the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
One thing about the show that I just really loved in terms of just watching it and enjoying it and having a great time is, you know, so often I'll go see a show and come around the first, you know, towards the end of Act One, I'm sort of looking at my watch, I'm ready for it to be over.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen this time. In both acts, I did not want it to be over.
Yeah.
When that final number came up, I was like, really? Come on. Can't we do another one? It was very sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
We like to say the show is big, fab, fun. It's a fun machine.
Yeah, BFF.
I've
yeah.
said it.
Because you're my BFF.
You're my BFF. From here until forever.
That's right. Thank you. Yes. That's so nice of you.
Oh my gosh. I need to leave. So, privacy and give you two some privacy.
Jay and I are going to get a room.
Yeah.
I've
got an Airbnb, you know.
I love the message of this show.
Yes.
It is so timely.
Mm-hmm.
It is so important. In a sentence, what's the message of the show?
Just be.
Just be.
You change the world when you change your mind. If you just accept people for who they are and what they bring to the world and to life, we just make this world a better place.
And, you know, I think that's where we're
going. We're all shaking our heads, but no one can see that on air.
We're nodding our heads.
I was just nodding our heads.
Nodding. Shaking our heads is a different thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I meant nodding. Yeah. Okay.
And it's so, so timely, so important right now.
Yes.
Absolutely. And so big in Texas right now, specifically around the trans community.
Yes.
I don't know. Did you hear about the fight in Houston over an equal rights ordinance?
No.
Okay. So and we'll get political for just a little second because I think it talks about what you guys are talking about.
Uh-huh.
So it's called the Houston Equal Rights Amendment, which was passed by the city council overwhelmingly 2 years ago. The right wing decided to try to get it off, and they had a referendum to repeal it. They used as their ad campaign men in bathrooms. So it was all bathroom panic, and it got defeated. So so it's a shame. And so one
it's
of the
a
things
shame.
That
a lot of people that I liked and idolized as sports heroes came out and said a lot of nasty things, and I'm like, how it was really disheartening.
But Kinky Boots tells a story that people are people, and I just love the story of Tom, Ted, Ding. What's the guy's name?
Charlie.
The beard? Not Charlie. The guy, the beard.
Oh, Don.
Don.
Ted Ding.
Tom Ted Don. Ding. You might want to talk to Harvey and see if he wants to change it to Ding, because he sort of looks like a Ding.
That has a better ring to it.
We'll get right on that phone call.
But I love the story of him. Tell folks what that story, the nickel tour of that story.
Don is one of the factory workers that when Lola shows up, he's like, what is this? Who is this? This sissy walking in here, and now you've changed our world. Don is a third generation Price and Son. He's been working, his family has been working at the shoe factory for years, and now we're making boots for drag queens? Like what? He's this big.
That's crazy.
He's this butch man that's just, he doesn't understand.
He's a big burly man.
And he challenges Lola, and Lola challenges him back. He challenges her to do a fight, a boxing match, and she challenges him to accept someone for who they are.
Oh my God. I'm starting to cry right now. Cause I did. I don't know. Nicole was sitting right next to me. I did have to wipe away a tear.
I did. I did too.
When he turned over that new leaf and the factory reopened. So that is awesome. And I think anybody would just love seeing this show.
Yeah, it's fun. A lot of people never know what to expect when they hear Kinky Boots if they don't know anything of the show. And they come. And that's the fun we have on stage is seeing all kinds of people and their responses. One of the most fun responses we see is when there's a couple and you see that the husband's been dragged there by the wife and he's just like, what is this? What have I been brought to? And by the time we get to the finale, he's clapping and he's singing and he's dancing along and he's got the message. And people are very receptive to the message once they are there and they see what we're doing.
And that guy just runs right out and buys himself a pair of Kinky Boots.
Yes, he does.
So you have some big news. So you have taken on this role.
Yes.
Last night was your first official night on stage in the role as no longer understudy and dance captain, right?
Right. I was the assistant dance captain and a swing, which meant I sat in the wings and I just waited until somebody was on vacation.
We love the swings. We talk about swings all the time and how important
people never know what swings are.
Oh, we educate our
audience does. We talk about it a lot.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, we love your audience. Yeah. So for a year, I was a swing and it was my first time swinging and assistant dance captain. And
that's a lot of hats.
It was a lot of hats.
And that's a dance heavy show.
It is.
Yeah, so
especially with I covered all the angels, I covered all the male factory workers, and I understudied Lola. And then it was my job to maintain and teach new people. We just had a big changeover of like 15 or more people in the past couple months, and I had to teach them, but then like switch gears and be Lola at the same time. And so it was very much a juggling all these balls in the air, and then now I can just have
now you're just a star. But seriously, when you walked out on stage the very first time last night, the audience went wild.
Bananas.
Oh, the audience was amazing last night. So responsive.
They were.
We loved it.
Well, it's because Nicole and I were here.
It was us.
We did a little warm up ahead of time, and we talked to everybody in the audience.
Must warm up.
I will say this: it was people were talking around us during the whole show. But people were, and it wasn't annoying. Lisa and I were giggling. People were talking because they were like, oh my gosh, look at this. Check that. It was excitement chit-chatting that it didn't bother me. And I'm like, I haven't heard the audience. Like, I haven't heard the audience that excited.
That's, you know, with the setup when Don comes out in the beginning of the show and does the pre-curtain moment. We're setting the audience up to be comfortable, to play with us.
Right.
Give us your energy. It makes a better show for us and for you.
Yep.
When we know that you're there, you're with us, and you're connected to the story.
So, for sort of gearheads that aren't necessarily theater people, I think they'd like to go see this as well, because your set is filled with, like, it's a factory.
Oh yeah,
and it's got moving parts.
Oh,
without giving anything away,
knobs
and lights.
I was laughing at Boy Production. That's a lot of props. That's a lot.
We travel with.
That's a lot of everything.
8 semi trucks.
Yep.
To travel everything.
I was wondering how many.
Yeah.
8.
Beautiful set. Everything was wonderful.
And then there are those costumes by Greg Barnes, Tony Award winner.
Yeah.
Those things are. I mean, from a drag queen, what I've E6000 and hot glue things together, and now dresses are getting sent to India to get beaded. I'm like, hey, she feels real special. <you know? laughs> It's lovely.
So I have to tell you, knowing we were going to have this interview this morning, I had a dream that I was like, the day was over and the end of the day. And before I went to bed, I had to put on more mascara. Ended on eyelashes out to here to go to bed. It was crazy. And I didn't remember. I had to write a note to myself to talk to you about it. Because I said,
mascara. That's her note in Brig Red. Dreamt about mascara.
That is hilarious. Yeah. Well, it's funny. I told the makeup artist last night, we were talking about which lashes to use. I was like, use the bigger ones. Why not?
Yeah, that's right.
Bigger lashes.
We're out of time. But
are we?
Yes.
Really, though?
Yeah. I'm hoping that you might be able to stick with us for about another minute or two to join us backstage, which I'll explain in a second. So you guys are in Austin. You got here last night. You're playing this week, right?
Yes. We leave on... Well, our last performance is Sunday night.
Sunday night. So people have 5 more chances.
7 more chances.
7 more chances.
Yes.
There's matinee Saturday and Sunday.
Excellent.
Well, Jay Harrison G, thank you so much for joining us on Offstage and on the Air.
Thank you for
having
me.
I hope you come back.
I do too.
I would love to. Awesome.
Excellent. Price. Excellent. That was Jay Harrison G. He's with Broadway Across America's Kinky Boots, playing now through November 15th. For more information, please visit austin.broadway.com. And Nicole, we're just going to have time to sign off.
I know.
Like us on Facebook, stitch us on Stitcher.
Tweet us.
Tweet us on Twitter.
What's the best way?
Stick around for Backstage at Offstage if you're listening to the podcast.
Yes.
If you're not, get us in the email, offstageonair.com, and just put your name in, and we'll send you the stuff.
We'll arrive. It'll happen.
So otherwise, Nicole and I will see you next week when we look what's happening offstage and on the air. And I don't remember what this next piece is, but it has something to do with our troops. Curtain has just come down on Air Conditioning Salesman the Musical, the story of a hapless air conditioning salesman trying to sell air conditioning units in Nome, Alaska in the wintertime. He doesn't do very well. And here we are backstage. It's very hot here because the air conditioning is working. So this is going to be a pretty quick backstage at Offstage. So joining us here backstage is Michael Miller. Welcome back to the backstage.
Hello. Thank you.
Gwen Kelso.
Hiya.
Amber Quick.
Hello.
And Drew Hutchinson.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, I'm going to try to get those microphones a little hotter. So it's Veterans Day. Mm. Is anybody a veteran? Oh, shoot. Hold on. Hold that thought. Trivia answer question.
Okay. Musical set in Italy. This fabled flop featured an Italian duke who races cars, his granddaughter who is a witch, and Guido who was the devil's emissary.
Okay. Anybody have any idea what it is? Normally, it's a multiple choice, and we can just guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I chose a short one today. And
I'm gonna say it's Arrivederci Roma.
No, but I like that.
Right.
It was quite simpler.
Really?
I wish Chickalola was here to hear this from her comment earlier, but. The show was Portofino, one of the greatest Broadway disasters of all time. That's what the sentence said. She goes, must have really been a flop. Oh, according to the book, it was a disaster.
Does it say why it was a disaster, and is it in Not Since Carrie?
No.
Is there in the second edition? Yeah. Have an asterisk?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it doesn't say why it was a disaster.
No, it was a one sentence. I picked a short one sentence question and answer.
Well, it has witches and race cars, so.
What could possibly be wrong?
The granddaughter, the race cars, and Guido.
Portofino.
And Portofino is beautiful, but I wouldn't think of race cars and witches.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
So the question I was going for, you probably figured it out.
The devil's emissary, that's it, Guido.
The devil's emissary. Has anybody been in the service or have relatives that were in the service?
My dad was in the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that counts as the service.
Sure was. Both of my grandfather on my dad's side, my papa.
Your papa.
In World War II, and my grandfather on my mom's side, granddaddy, he fought in the Korean War.
My father also fought in World War II in Italy. Speaking of Italy, bringing it full circle. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to break in right now. We were fortunate enough, Nicole and I were giving a tour of the theater to J. Harrison G., and we just stepped backstage to talk to him a little bit about his life and his story. First of all, you're from North Carolina.
From North Carolina.
Born and bred.
Raised. Yes.
Did you go to college?
I did. I went to AMDA in New York.
I've heard of that place, the Ansonia Theater. It's the Ansonia Hotel.
Yeah. I was there for 2 years, and then I worked at Tokyo Disney for a couple years and did cruise ships for a while.
Yeah, so you did. I saw on your thing you did industrials. I come from the – I worked in the industrial field for ages.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for like 30 years.
Oh, wow.
She's one of the beginning folks to do that. Yeah. Don't let her fool you. This woman is everything.
So I don't know what it is, but Amy Layton, who's sitting here – say hello, Amy.
Hello.
Oh, wait. Now say hello.
Hello.
I thought you had that microphone on. she intimated as we were walking backstage here that you had a story that seems appropriate to share. I have no idea what it is.
But give it to us.
Well, I mean, it's still connected to Kinky Boots. This show has really changed my life in a lot of ways. Uh-huh. My father's a pastor in North Carolina, and I got a chance to be Lola in North Carolina, and my family saw the show. And he didn't know that I had been doing drag for 5 years before I booked this.
Yeah.
My mother was the only one who knew, and she was like, this isn't what we raised you to do. You're pretty, but I don't know how I feel about it. And the day before my dad saw the show, we sat down, we had a great day together, we were having dinner, and he's like, so this drag thing, what's that about? And I was like, you know, I do it on my terms. I get paid to do it. It's not that I'm just like dolled up for the sake of being dolled up. I have complete creative control over this character that I've created, and I have fun with it. And he said, okay. And I showed him pictures, and he was like, wait, who is that?
You didn't realize it was you?
He's like, that's my son? I said, yeah. He said, oh, okay, I get it. And then he saw the show, and he got home the next day, and he texted me, and he said, I'm proud of who and what you are. And that was everything that I needed to hear from my father, because just like Lola, like I'd struggled with being an individual and being the bold child in the family and them always questioning everything. And so he finally came around to understand or seeing better who I am and accepting that and loving it more.
That is a wonderful story.
Yeah.
I am transsexual and transitioned, after my father passed away, and I'm very saddened by that, because I think he would have been he wouldn't have liked it, but I think he would be okay with it, with the me that I am now. So that's incredible. So a lot of people don't really understand what drag is.
Mm-hmm.
What's drag?
Well, drag to me can be so many things. Drag is like I said, for me, it's a creative outlet that I personally enjoy looking as different as I can every time. You know, there are some drag queens who like have a particular look. They're right. only blonde. They're only this. They only do that. Me, I'm like, hey, I want to have red hair today. I want to wear, you know, whatever. And I love being able to create and entertain and just give people a part of me.
Yeah. So that is that's a great story. And we're so happy to have you here backstage. We know you need to get on. And
gotta
go on
to
the next
kinky
thing.
Boots on.
Yeah. But so thank you so much for joining
us
backstage.
For
and thanks
thank
for
you.
Sharing that story.
Thank you.
Okay, Jay, we'll see you later.
Later.
So actually the only person that hasn't been here backstage is Drew. So I have to ask you our standard questions real quick.
Oh.
Where'd you come from?
I grew up in Houston. I live in
Texas?
New York. Yeah.
Or another one. You live in New York now?
I live in New York right now, yeah.
Oh, so you're here, you're a guest artist.
I am a guest artist.
La 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 la. Yeah. Where in New York do you live?
I live in Astoria.
Astoria, Queens.
Yes.
See, so when I lived in New York, if you lived in the boroughs, you did not say you didn't admit to it.
Well, now they call it Actoria.
I know. It's very popular.
Actoria? Yeah. That's hilarious.
Well, but if you're going to live in Queens, Astoria, or Long Island City, those are the towns to live in because they're so close, right?
Yeah. It's really quick.
And are you working in theater there?
Yes. I mean, generally. I mean, I'm here now, but I'm involved in a couple
So did you go from Houston to New York?
No, I went from here to New York because I went here for undergrad.
Ah, you went to co-op studios?
Went to
I didn't even realize we had an undergrad.
He was living under
Nobody
the cubicle
ever told
in
me
the
it
back.
Wasn't a school. I was just kind of.
Did you do theater in high school in Houston?
Yes.
What high school?
Bel Air High School.
Bel Air. I know lots of people that went to Bel Air. Yeah,
it's a big
yeah.
School,
you were
yeah.
probably. You might have been. You may be the child of some of my friend's friends.
That's
all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
So, Bella, I'm just going to... No, I'm not. When we're off air, I'm going to throw out a name. You may know my niece. She's 30-ish. I don't know where you are in that. So, you did theater in Bel Air.
Yes.
Why not HSPVA? We always talk about HSPVA.
We do talk about HSPVA.
I don't know. Didn't that
Why
cost
the money? Hell not?
Didn't that cost money or something?
I have. I don't know.
I don't think I it
didn't,
did. I had to pay to go to the one in Dallas, but I lived outside of Dallas Independent School District.
I would have had to pay because I was in the Spring Branch.
Because I was
school
in Highland
district.
Park Independent School District, so I had to. But it wasn't a lot, even though I was in Dallas. I know, very weird.
How long have you been in New York?
On and off for more than 10 years.
Really? Have you always been in Astoria?
No, I've lived in Hell's Kitchen. I've lived in Williamsburg. I was out in New Jersey for a while.
Sorry.
I know.
Stop saying that. That's where I was born. My roots are Jersey and Manhattan, and she's making fun of that. I'm proud to be born at Jersey Shore Medical Center. Thank
Jersey
you.
Jersey people are. Mm-hmm. Proud of it.
Well, if you've actually been outside of Newark, it's a beautiful state.
It's been a great
called
deal of
the
time.
Garden State for a reason, people.
I spent a lot of time in Morristown.
Best corn and blueberries ever.
No, I'm sorry.
And tomatoes, right?
Oh, the tomatoes, yeah.
I will give New Jersey tomatoes.
Yes. Yeah.
Jersey beefsteak tomatoes rock the
they
party.
They do.
So cool. So you love it? You staying?
Yeah. I mean, I'm who knows?
I think
where,
you
I just
yep
go
yep with a big nod.
Go,
yeah.
Know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. I sort of missed the New York scene, but I was there in the 70s, and so I think it was very different back then.
Well, you still go there a lot, don't you?
I go there on occasion. I'm downwardly mobile,
okay.
So I can't really afford to go as much as I used to do. So who's got some interesting stories they want to share? We don't need to do the demographics this time. What's going on? What's some theater horror stories that y'all want to talk about? Michael, I'm sure you have some.
Oh, God. You put me on the spot, and I can't remember anything.
Yeah.
You know, maybe somebody.
Who's got an animal with
Gwen,
the with a theatrical...
you've been working on some stuff in New York. Tell us what you've been up to.
I can tell you one horror story, which was we just did The Merry Wives of Windsor, and we couldn't, the way the theater was set up, we couldn't store our props.
Mm. What?
So one of the most important props in The Merry Wives of Windsor is this gigantic basket, laundry basket.
Right.
So we had to store it essentially at the New York Times, and my friend and I, with all of the props, had to roll it from the
Down
New York
the
Times at 40th and 8th to, what was that, 30th.
Yeah, 36.
Well, that's like the dock of the New York Times, too.
Midtown, taking out tourists right and left.
One time we took it to the bar after.
And we locked it.
So y'all were in the same show together.
Yeah.
So,
wait a minute. You should have replayed Annie and just done the smuggling Annie out in the laundry basket and done like scene work from point A to point B.
I'm more curious.
Come on, Gwen.
I'm more curious as to why you're storing props in the
New York Times office.
Well, why would I store things at the New York Times?
Like, let me call the New York Times and see if they have some storage.
The things are so difficult for the newspaper industry right now that they're renting storage space to small theaters.
Yeah, but when do you stop and go, I think the New York Times may have some storage.
Were you doing, was this something on Theater Row? Is that the area?
No, they have a theater space, the Time Center, where they do a lot of time stops. Okay. I work there. So I occasionally get to store some.
Work connection. All makes sense now.
Okay, what was the show?
It was the Merry Wives of Windsor.
Oh, you said that. Yeah. I don't pay attention to anything people say, really.
It's not one of his more memorable
ones.
You know, I'm a relative Shakespeare ignorant.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, I'm a relative Shakespeare ignorant.
You could say it, but I'm
I have a relative who is a Shakespeare ignorant.
So
do you have any theater horror stories? Well, no, you've actually shared some with us. You had a light following you or something?
Oh, I did. I had a light and almost got killed in the chorus line. That sucked.
Oh, wow.
I did fall down the stairs after I took a bow in Follies. Fell down, going up the stairs. Fell down them. Not coming down the stairs, going up.
So you went up the downstairs.
Amber fell off the bed yesterday.
It did. But look, I went home and soaked it in an Epsom bath.
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
That's pretty good. So
I think probably my closest to near death experience was I toured this one woman show for a few years, and the set had this heavy archway that was it was all wood, but it was like thick plywood layered to look like a brick wall, and it had this archway that was sort of floating and free hanging. So there was a very specific order to the setup and to the strike.
Right.
And part of our rider was having capable hands at every load in and load out.
Yeah, kind of important.
How to read a plan.
Right. And we got to one very sweet little theater, and our point person was like, and this is my son, Sam. Say hi, Sam.
Hi.
You know, he was 8,
oh,
maybe.
No.
So he got that to take the flats apart. You pulled out the little linchpin.
Oh,
and
no.
He was like, that can be my job. So he just goes and pulls out all of the linchpins. So I'm standing in front of off the stage, perfect height for the heavy arch piece to come straight down, and I just happened to glance up and just put my hand up and like jammed my wrist, avoided concussion and or death.
It's scary. We missed by literally, it was the end of Hello 12, Hello 13, Hello Love, and we were all coming back into the line. Entire baton rod, everything, like multiple fixtures. We would have all been dead. It wasn't just me. It was the whole line would have been gone. Yeah,
there's joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, I know. That chorus line was gone.
There is.
I have this. I got this during Importance of Being Earnest.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. You can't see it.
We're seeing a bruise on his shin at this
point. Yeah, it's a big bruise.
Yeah, and it's been there for years. It's never going away. It was like Importance of Being Earnest, I felt. It wasn't a very interesting story.
They want you to remember the importance.
Yes, exactly. It was a British.
So this is a
war wound episode.
Well, this is something that's very important to tell our listeners, that you know, the theater isn't easy.
It's dangerous.
And we should be getting hazard pay.
It's Romeo and Juliet. One time I stabbed Romeo through the hand. That's probably the most interesting thing.
Yikes. Like, actually like stabbed all the way through?
It was like a foil that had a blunted end, uh-huh. but somehow it pushed its way through his palm and went out his...
Out the other side.
Out his wrist. Out the back.
Oh, my God.
And it amazingly missed everything, like... Crucial to like allow you to still use your hand, and it was just like bandage here. It just went straight through.
Oh my gosh!
I have one more good one.
Okay,
I was doing this historical drama that the climax
an
of
outdoor
the show,
drama.
Yes.
Okay. Which one?
Hatfields and McCoys.
Of course.
I was Spirit McCoy and Sassy.
What state
Sassy
is that
McCoy.
In? Is that in
West
like
Virginia.
A Tennessee, West Virginia?
Yeah.
I spent 4 summers there and I loved it. Loved every minute of it.
I did a summer in an outdoor drama. They're fun.
They're real. Like, you love them. In your very early 20s, they are good the place to be.
For me, it was teens, late teens.
Right. But there was this huge fight scene where the Hatfields line up on one side and the McCoys line up on the other side, and it's the pig trial. And so there's this very stylized, like, charging and then backing up and charging and backing off. And then finally, we all line up, and we have the fight choreographers there were amazing, and safety first always.
Of course.
But one day, somebody just shifted to the right just enough. And so as we're charging for our big all-out brawl, he shifts to the right. I try to adjust enough to the right, get my boot caught in my petticoat, of course. And as I'm going down, like, the saving grace was that we're all packed in so tight that I just sort of, like, slid down bodies. And this is gross. But I was trying to reach my hand, and as I did, my finger went in the top of somebody's boot and just boop.
Oh!
So by the time that I hit the ground, they were already pulling me back up. And I looked, and it was the fight choreographer who was right next to me. He wasn't the one that shifted, though. Thank you, Lee.
Damn, Lee. I never trusted him.
Right? He pulls me up, and he looks at me, and he was like, "Are you good?" And I said, "I don't know." And I held my hand up
and
like
your finger
that.
Was just
and my
dripping.
Finger at the middle digit was just pointing towards my thumb.
Yeah, that just makes
you want
to barf right there.
That's right. And so I just looked at him and just went, and popped it back in because I didn't know what else to do.
You're
like, it didn't
tough.
Hurt yet.
You are a tough broad.
It didn't
That's
hurt
tough.
Yet, so I just like. Bleh.
Yeah, I would have cried.
And then finished the rest of the show with my hand on in an ice pack in a little wicker basket.
Oh my gosh!
I like the wicker basket.
Our outdoor drama was that they tried to do it. We were the second cast ever to do this show called The Lone Star in Galveston, and it was. They tried to do a 6-month run because the weather can do that, but it didn't do well. So we closed a month early. There was a big pyrotechnic show at the end of the show, and the pyro guy said, "Well, I've got a month's extra worth of."
Yes,
and he threw them off, and it caused a huge fire.
I think I remember you telling me this. Didn't you have a fire in the Bahamas too?
No, yeah, the Bahamas show. Yeah. That was. We'll tell this story.
Okay. I was like, I do remember that story.
I did a show in the Bahamas. Called the Bahama Bound, and it was a new casino that opened up there, and it was this big, lavish Vegas-style show. And the equivalent of Mardi Gras in the Bahamas is Junkanoo, where these people wear these beautiful, elaborate paper costumes.
Really amazing.
And so we had the Junkanoo number, which is at the end of... No, it wasn't at the end. It was in the middle of the show.
I just remembered fire as a part of this. Sorry, I'm very excited.
Yeah, and there was pyro. And this is the Bahamas. There are no rules.
Because everything's better in the Bahamas.
I was the assistant stage manager, and my job at that number was to stand off stage and put the... actors out every single night because at the end at the button of the number pyro from above they all caught on fire I would just put them out and then that was
nuts.
Funny but I have to say we had a half Bahamian cast and there was these two Bahamians that just hated each other and one day they got in a physical fight in their Junkanoo costumes and it was like if you could imagine furries in a fight together it was so funny.
Lisa's told me so many stories from this Bahamas show and I'm like I love these.
It was amazing. I did that for a long time. So we any last pearls of wisdom before we trundle away from backstage? No?
Epsom salt
Michael?
Is your friend.
Epsom salt. Epsom salt. Michael, here's your chance.
Well, why would you need that? I'm prepared.
I did that just to get that reaction.
She was trying to get you in the tizzy of
Well, thank you guys for braving the heat back here. Hopefully this is the last day of heat.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll bring fan next week, if not.
No, it's going to be full heavy. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Adios. Bye.
The sex is in the heat.